How do you make space for lattes, wardrobe upgrades, and hair blowouts without derailing your financial security, savings, and future goals? If you're asking yourself this question, you're in the right place. Hey, I'm Sophia, a Vancouver-based podcaster and the founder of In Her Wallet, a financial education and guidance company on a mission to enable women to take lasting control of their finances by leveraging the insights of behavioral psychology. And this podcast is your guide to financial success, equipping you to live your best life without sacrificing your financial future. This week, I'm bringing you a solo episode about the topic that's been on my mind and quite possibly on yours too. It's tipping. From conversations with my friends, I understand there is this silent frustration growing in our communities about the practice of giving tips that many feel is spiraling out of control. It's more than just deciding how much to tip and the options we're given, often well above the old 10 to 15% mark. I think it's also about navigating the social expectations that leave us wondering, are we doing this right? In this episode, I want to try and understand the multifaceted perspectives on tipping, from the service workers who count on these tips to make ends meet, to consumers like us who face the ever-increasing pressure of meeting or exceeding these expectations. And perhaps, why are we now expected to tip in places that would have seemed absurd just a decade ago? So whether you're out for a walk, driving, or listening to this in the comfort of your home, I hope this episode helps you make informed choices that align with your values and respect everyone involved, but without sacrificing your financial future. Let's dive in. I want to start with taking a quick trip down memory lane to see where this whole tipping thing started. As a practice, tipping has its origins in Europe of the Middle Ages, specifically the Tudor England era, which refers to the period between 1485 and 1603. Picture this. Guests at manor houses would provide what was called vails, or small sums of money, to the host's servants for anticipated services, so ahead of the dining experience. This gesture was not just about generosity, it was a sign of social status, a way for the wealthy to demonstrate their affluence and for servants to earn a little extra. As we crossed the ocean to the United States, tipping didn't immediately take root. In fact, it faced stiff opposition. Many Americans viewed tipping as undemocratic and un-American, arguing it created an uncomfortable hierarchy between the rich and service workers. However, the practice began to cement itself in the U.S. towards the end of the 19th century, propelled by the return of wealthy Americans from Europe, where they had grown accustomed to tipping. When we think about places where tipping is widely accepted, the hospitality industry comes to mind, and there's actually economic and social factors that play a critical role here. For businesses like restaurants and hotels, tipping offers a way to keep labor costs down by shifting the responsibilities of paying workers from the employer to the customer. It's something that has been done historically and unfortunately still stays this way today. But when I was preparing for this episode, it was fascinating to learn how differently we all think about tipping, reflecting deep cultural nuances. And here I want to highlight some examples for you. In Japan, for example, tipping is often considered rude. Service is viewed as part of one's duty to society, not something extra to be rewarded. Over in South Korea, tipping isn't part of the culture either. In fact, leaving a tip can sometimes lead to a puzzled waiter chasing after you to return your money. Because service charges are typically included in the bill and the service is always top-notch, no extra incentives needed. In Italy, tipping isn't expected the way it is in the US. Sure, you might round up your bill or leave a few extra euros at a fancy restaurant, but it's more about a gesture of appreciation than an obligation. And though I've been to Italy before, I didn't know they have such a thing called coperto, if I'm pronouncing it correctly. That's a per-person cover charge already added to your bill, covering the cost of bread and other things that they serve you. And finally, in countries like Canada and the United States, tipping has become almost a mandatory extension of service payment, which is deeply ingrained in the social and economic fabric of the hospitality industry. Actually, last couple of times my fiancé and I traveled to the US, we noticed that an 18 and often a 20% tip was already included in the bill, something we're not really used to seeing here in Canada. And this brings me to my next point, how tipping affects wages and whether tips that are automatically included in your bill have potential impact on the quality of service you receive. So when we start to peel back the layers of tipping culture, especially here in North America, you start to see something pretty eye-opening. Have you noticed how high the tipping percentages are getting? Gone are the days when a 15% tip was acceptable, I feel like. Now it's more about 18 to 20%. Some places ask for even more than that. For example, at my go-to spot for brow care, the screen offers me to tip anywhere between 18 and a whopping 35%. That's a lot, isn't it? To me, it's moving from being a nice thank you to a big chunk of charge on our bills. And I think this jump in tipping percentages makes a lot of us stop and think. It's supposed to be about giving us choices, but it ends up putting a lot of pressure on us, the customers. We have to ask ourselves, should it really be up to us to make sure the people serving us are getting paid enough? That's the reason why I think this whole situation points to a bigger challenge. Tips were always meant to be a little extra on top, but now they're turning into a major part of what service workers take home. And while it can be nice, I bet it's tough on the service workers too, having their pay depend so much on tips. Because at the end of the day, customers are the ones left juggling our budgets with wanting to support these workers. And don't get me wrong, tipping is super important. It's a way to show appreciation for someone's hard work and extra care. For me personally, normally I tip around 15 to 18% in restaurants, and yes, I can go up to 20 something if the service was absolutely exceptional, like they made the night extra special. But when we're starting to see suggestions to tip as much as, you know, 18 to 35% in places where just the basic service was done that I'm already paying for, it's time to pause and think about what this really means. For me personally, it's making me wonder, shouldn't business owners be the ones really making sure their teams are paid fairly without having to rely so heavily on our tips? And I know I mentioned the tips being automatically added to your bill in the US. While I haven't seen this in Canada, I do hope this trend is not coming here, to be honest. And hear me out, traditionally tips have been seen as a direct reflection of customer satisfaction, a reward for exemplary service. When gratuities are predetermined, does it dilute the incentive for staff to go above and beyond in their service delivery? I think the answer is yes. Now, another challenge with tips is the overreach. It's like everywhere we go, there is a screen or a jar asking us to tip. Don't get me wrong, I'm all for showing love for great service, as I mentioned, but when did it become the norm to see tipping requests at places where it wasn't a thing before? Coffee shops, carry-out counters, even online orders, it's everywhere. And I think it's a pretty interesting debate. On one side, people argue that with the cost of living going up, tips are more important than ever before for people working in service jobs. It's about giving a little extra to help someone out, especially when they go the extra mile for us. But then there is the flip side. Many of us are feeling the pinch too. When tipping starts feeling less like a choice and more like an expectation everywhere we go, it can make us second guess even the small joys like grabbing that morning coffee or treating ourselves to a night out. Plus, there's this uneasy feeling that businesses might be passing the buck on paying their staff properly, making it our job instead. I think the big question we're all asking is, where do we draw the line? How do we keep the spirit of tipping as a bonus for awesome service without it becoming overwhelming or, dare I say, a bit exploitative? It's a tricky balance. We want to be generous and acknowledge hard work, but not at the cost of feeling stressed or guilt-tripped into tipping at every turn. So obviously, I don't want this to go on like a rant. It's clear that tipping plays a vital role in our daily interactions and the livelihood of service workers. But I also want to acknowledge that there is this growing pressures and expectations on customers. And I think we need to call for a fresh look at how we can move forward. What are the alternative solutions that both customers and businesses can explore to create a more balanced, fair, and stress-free environment? If I had a service-based business, I think the path forward for me would be to adopt more transparent wage models. This might mean integrating service charges directly into prices or ensuring that my team has sufficient wages and that tips become a true bonus rather than a necessity for workers to make ends meet. At the end of the day, I think if you cannot pay proper wages to your employees, you shouldn't run a business, right? It's about taking responsibility for fair compensation and creating an atmosphere where the extra money from tips is just the cherry on top of a well-paid job. And now on the customer side, I want to leave you with a few actionable tips and solutions that can help us all navigate this tipping landscape with confidence and compassion. So first of all, I think you can start by setting aside a small part of your budget for tipping each month. This way, you're prepared to show your appreciation without feeling overwhelmed by unexpected expenses, which I think is a lot of the times what it comes down to. Second, get to know the typical tipping rates in your area and for different services. A range of 15 to 20% is standard in many places for dining out, but it's always good to adjust based on the quality of service and your own budget. Next tip, and it's something that I see very often, is that people feel locked in into the percentages suggested by electronic payment system. But you can actually customize your tip. If the service was exceptional, feel free to tip more. If it was lacking, it's okay to tip less. And don't be afraid if the server approaches you on why your tip was less than what they perhaps expected. For them, it's also a great learning experience to learn how to improve and be better at their job. If you're facing financial constraints, remember that even a small tip is a gesture of appreciation. And finally, I want to say that context is key. Remember that some workers rely more heavily on tips than others. For instance, tipping your barista or a quick service restaurant worker might be seen as a nice bonus, while tips to servers in full service restaurants can make up a significant part of their income. As we wrap up this episode, I think it's clear that finding the right balance is key, not just for us as customers, but for the businesses we love to support. Thank you for joining me on this deep dive into tipping culture. Let's carry forward the conversation with thoughtfulness, aiming for a future where everyone, from customers to service workers to business owners, feel valued and fairly compensated. Thank you for tuning into In Her Wallet. If today's episode inspired you or gave you a new perspective, it would mean so much to me if you followed us on your podcasting platform of choice, shared this episode with your friends, and left a 5-star rating and review. I want this episode to serve as a reminder that you're not alone in your financial journey. This podcast is your guide to financial success, equipping you to live your best life without sacrificing your financial future. It was Sophia with you this Wednesday, and I will see you next week.